You're listening to Wheelationships.
Why don't you turn to the person next to you, tell them, congratulations, you have showed up at Sunday school this morning. Tell them, go ahead. Okay. All right. I just wanted you to do that because for some of you, that's going to be your only reward today. So, because this is going to take work, all right? Normally, you're used to coming to, like, church or Sunday school, and we kind of act like a sitcom, and we get all things settled in one half-hour segment. But we're not going to get everything settled in this half-hour segment this morning. You're going to have to actually take what we talk about this morning and do some work outside of class in order for any of this to matter. Otherwise, it's 30 minutes of your life you're not going to get back again. But if you take what we say and then you're going to have to dwell on it, and not just this week. This is probably stuff you're going to have to dwell on for a while and really work at. So if that's not you, and you got your congratulations, so it's good. A couple of things to get you started this morning. I don't know if you saw this. Couple of news items, just because. Kyle Blair, age 25, from Surrey, England, was arrested after he failed in his carjacking attempt. This has been the last couple of weeks. You might have seen it in the news. He tried to pull the driver out of the car, but both the driver and the passenger were too large for him to handle, so it didn't go well. They were also playing clothes detectives on a stakeout, so didn't work out well for Kyle. Albert Luna, age 19, from Coachella, California, was arrested and charged with swiping the keys to a FedEx truck while the FedEx driver was delivering a package. But he walked away when he couldn't figure out how to drive the truck. And all during this episode, Mr. Luna was naked. I don't know. We're not here to talk about crazy people, though, okay? We're here to talk about the people that drive you crazy. And somewhere, people related to these people are probably driven just a little crazy by their actions. Hopefully, it's not that severe for you with your crazy makers. But our series is about the crazy makers. Yeah, everybody's clothed, hopefully. The crazy makers, the button pushers, the people that really get you going, that provoke stress and added things in your life that are way beyond normal for all the other normal people in your life. You probably have a bunch of normal people in your life that sometimes, you know, things don't go well and you may argue and you may fuss with each other and they may do things that you don't like, but it's in that normal range. We're talking about outside of that normal range. Let's begin with this familiar passage of scripture. James chapter 1. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, and you probably want to circle or underline or bold or do something to that word any, when troubles of any kind come your way. Now, and how many, you know that most of your most biggest troubles and the troubles that really provoke you come from people, not things, right? Most of our troubles that really get to us are people troubles. So, but he says, any kind of troubles, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Yeah, whatever. For great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow, so let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Okay, here's a question for you. What is being tested? Our endurance. No! That's what we think. We look at this verse and we go, our endurance is being tested. You are on my last strand of endurance. You are on the very tip. My endurance is going to grow because I'm just gritting my teeth and I'm going to get through this, and somehow or the other it's going to be. No, it says our faith, Our faith is being tested. Thank you, Marty. I was hoping somebody would say endurance. You got it. All right.
It was a setup.
It was a setup. All right. But really, that's the way we read that verse. We say, our endurance is being tested. Our endurance is going to grow. No, it's not your endurance being tested. It's your faith. Is God who he says he is? Will he give you everything that you need? Will he give you strength even when you're dealing with this crazy-making, button-pushing fool that is driving you crazy? Is he going to be enough for you to follow him and do what he says? Is he going to be enough so that you can endure it? Okay? Your faith. It's all about your faith is being tested. Do you trust that he cares for you? Do you trust that he sees what's going on and he's going to provide for you? Do you see that he understands? Last week, Trudy gave us a view from the zoo, and we're going to get closer. Because she talked about a kind of a general picture of your crazy maker. And if you try to find that online, it's not there, but it will be this week after she re-records it. If you remember, my computer rebooted right in the middle of class and it lost the recording. So, but she talked about this general picture. We're going to get closer. We're going to get a very specific picture today. But here's the bad news. I got to give you some bad news up front. There will be no categories. There will be no types. Okay, we're not going to make up like four different categories and kind of toss everybody into a category so that you can say, oh, my crazy maker's in this category, so that we're going to deal with it this way. All right, that's what we like to do. You know, we're not going to say, well, okay, these are the elephant crazy makers and these are the giraffe crazy. No, we're going to try to get you to look specifically at your crazy maker. Very specifically. As Trudy mentioned, we have seven resources that we're going to talk about in a couple weeks and that we're going to start talking about in a couple weeks. But before we get there, we have to look at this part, at your individual crazy maker. So as Trudy said, we want to look beyond the fruit and we want to look at the tree. But first, we want to, let me get there. I forgot about this. Let's get our little graphics going. There we go. That's what we're looking at today. We're not looking at view from the zoo. Inspect the fruit. That's what we first have to do. We're going to look at the tree, but first, let's look at the fruit. As we read the verse last week, a good tree bears good fruit, a bad tree bears bad fruit. So that's our first clue on your particular crazy maker. What specifically is happening with your crazy maker? What specifically are the symptoms that show up? Now, here are some examples for you. My boyfriend drinks too much. Now, in all of these, you can substitute, as we did a couple weeks ago, you could substitute, okay, don't turn it over to the back. All right, we're not there yet. We're really not, okay? You could substitute any relationship. It may be, you know, it may be husband, maybe child, maybe whoever. Okay. By the way, my particular, if they drink any, it's too much. But anyway, my ex-wife makes custody issues a nightmare. My husband is withdrawn and distant. Okay. It may not be your husband. It may be your whoever. Okay. My wife sees every problem as my fault and blames me. Nothing I do is good enough for my boss. Nothing I do is good enough for my whoever. A coworker is spreading lies about me. Or someone is saying, I'm trying to give you examples here because I want to flesh out your crazy maker. What is your crazy maker doing that is driving you crazy? My husband is putting us in financial jeopardy. I can't depend on my coworker to carry his load. My dad scares me with his temper. What else we got here? My teenage daughter is out of control. My wife spends too much. My husband is into internet porn. My mom calls and visits too much. My girlfriend alternates between clinginess and anger with me. My friend is indirect about the truth. My partner can't have a discussion without cutting me off. Do I have any more? I do. I can't depend on my friend to be reliable and responsible. My adult child won't get a job and leave home. Okay. Those are just examples. They're symptoms. They're the fruit of the problem. Okay. So when you think about your crazy maker, and you, I'm not going to give you time to really do that this morning. That's why you got to work at this out of class. But as you think about it, what are the symptoms? What are the things that are chronic that are showing up? Is your crazy maker causing a life problem, or is it causing a relationship problem, or is he causing both? Usually it's both. Okay. Usually there's a life problem. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's some kind of life issue, and it kind of bleeds over into relationship issues or vice versa. It's not enough to say, well, they just drive me crazy. What specifically is driving you crazy? What specifically is that button that they're pushing? Well, they're just being stupid. How are they being stupid? What is making you say that? All right. It's common that they're going to cause several different problems. So you identify every significant issue. Significant issue. Okay. If they're addicted to something and they fail to put their laundry away, okay, probably you want to work on the addiction thing before you work on the laundry. I don't know. Some of you probably want to work on the laundry thing first, but no. Okay, significant issues. You want to look at that. And remind yourself, we have to remind ourselves, perception isn't always reality. Sometimes we're good at overreacting to things, and so a misdemeanor doesn't deserve the death penalty. So you have to kind of bear that in mind. Is this something that I'm kind of overly sensitive to? Sometimes we underreact, especially if you're a kind of that merciful person, you know. Oh, they killed somebody, but he's such a nice boy. Okay, well, it's probably an issue that, you know, needs to be addressed. So what are the issues? And then give it a grade. Give it a grade. What's the severity of the problem? What level of crazy are we talking about? Is it mild? Is this mild? Is this, you know, like it's constant, but it's not, you know, terribly, or is it more serious, or is it really severe? Okay. And again, you gotta judge that against your view of things. You know, what are the main big picture attitudes or actions that are putting you in jeopardy, that are ruining the relationship, that are keeping you up at night, that permeate their life and your life in a negative way, and how severe is it? Give it a grade, okay? Now we move to the hard part. That was the easy part. And it's to inspect the causes and influences, or the root, the tree, what's behind it. Okay, let me just say up front, okay? You're not playing the shrink here. You're not trying to be a psychiatrist or a psychologist or get into all the, you know, deep dark whatever, okay? We're staying just at a general level here. But from what you know, what you can tell about the other person, what are causes and influences there that are kind of driving those things that are coming out? What in general is driving your crazy maker? Again, don't try to nail down the specifics. We're not going to know everything about the other person. But, and if you try to nail down the specifics, sometimes what happens is we try to, you know, think about all that and we get stuck right there because we're trying to get every little thing. No. Just in general, what are the causes and influences there? We need to know what's true and what's real. It's validated by your experience, or it's validated by other sane, safe people in your life that go, yeah, that's a problem. And that needs to be addressed. Here are some examples wait a minute. I gave you, there. We're going to the back now. Examples that in general seem to be p- possible causes, okay? And you see there, the ones we listed before on the screen, they're there on the back of your paper, you know, a problem, my boyfriend drinks too much. Well, what could be the possible causes? Well, he hadn't become an adult yet. He needs to grow up. Or maybe it's more serious. And as you go down this list, what we've done is kind of given you a more generous, if I could say that, more generous kind of explanation for the cause, or maybe a more serious explanation for the cause. These are just examples again. My ex-wife makes custody issues a nightmare. Well, why? Well, she wants to punish me. She wants to drive me a little crazy, or she's obsessive and overly concerned with what's going on, so she has control issues or something like that. My husband is withdrawn and distanced. Well, why? He's unable to open up emotionally. There's something going on. He's kind of withdrawn, or he's really self-absorbed and narcissistic, and he doesn't care about anybody except himself and his own emotions. So you see there, as you go down the list, there are possible causes. And this is the kind of thing we're talking about. My wife sees every problem as my fault and blames. Why? Well, maybe she feels powerless and projects blame, or maybe she refuses to look at her own contributions, her own issues there. Nothing I do is good enough for my boss. Why would he be that way? Well, he's just a critical person, just kind of a, or he's isolated from relationships and nobody ever tells him no, or things like that. You follow that? Okay. So these are all kind of examples of causes, influences that may happen. This is going to take you some time, and that's why I started with that in the beginning, okay? It's going to take you some time. As you think about this, it shouldn't take, like, months of time, but it may take a few days, a week or so, a couple weeks. As you think about it, if you've really got a crazy maker and you say, well, this is really hard. Well, yeah, relationships are really hard. But as you dwell on it, don't get stuck, but don't rush. Don't try to come to a hasty conclusion so you can get this over with and done. You know, again, we like the 30-minute sitcom kind of conclusions where everything is wrapped up and happy and we play the happy music at the end and we move on. Crazy makers, button pushers, aren't going to allow that. Okay, so take some time here. And once you've inspected the root, just as we did with the fruit, then we need to look at severity. And you can ask, how deep does it go? How deep does it go? For instance, if your crazy maker is kind of that critical person who never seems to give you a break, then do they, you know, incessantly find fault with everything, and it's whether it's large or small, and they're just critical on absolutely everything you do, and it doesn't make any sense sometimes that they're critical? Or is it just kind of they're out of balance? Or is it just with you? Does it seem to be just, you know, is there seem to be a personal problem? You're kind of judging the severity. One other thing here, which is kind of important, is as we talk about this, and we talk about causes and influences, we sometimes get confused about responsibility. Because as you're looking at the influences of somebody's, you know, it could be past things, it could be the way they were raised, it could be their environment, and you say, well, they've got all this stuff, and that shouldn't excuse them from what they're doing. No, not at all. Okay. And don't get confused here about responsibility. No matter what the cause, no matter what the influence that's going on with us as a crazy maker or as dealing with our crazy makers, no matter what the cause, we're always responsible for our behavior. We're always responsible for the damage that we cause when we start pushing people's buttons. No matter what the influence is, no matter if, you know, you feel it's because you have low self-esteem or you have, you know, other things going on in your life. No matter what the cause, no matter what the influence, you're responsible. You may have had horrible parents. You may have had terrible experiences. Your childhood may have been just the worst. Or your childhood may have been ideal, but you had other influences. You had friends that you listened to and talked you into things. No matter what it is, no matter what the havoc has been caused, we're responsible for it. And they are responsible for what they've done. Your crazy maker is. But here's what I want to get to. Total responsibility does not equal total ability. Yes, we're responsible. Yes, your crazy maker is responsible for every choice they've made. They're responsible for every time they push your button. They're responsible for every time they push the button of someone you love and you care about. But the message of the cross is that total responsibility doesn't equal total ability. That's why we come to Christ. Because sin, we're responsible for our sin. We're responsible for how we act and how our attitudes towards God and how we, you know, reject Him and do it on our own. We're responsible for that, but we're not able. Unless Christ has first loved us, unless He had gone to the cross and invited us into a relationship with Him, we'd be out of luck. And that's what we have to remember as we're dealing with our crazy makers. Yes, they're responsible, but they're many times not able. And it's going to take somebody to come alongside them. We can't work our way back to God, even when we come to our senses as the prodigal son did. He came to his senses, but it was the father who ran to him. Your crazy maker needs help, whether they know it or not. Your button pusher needs some help. And especially when they don't know it. Because a lot of times, your button pusher, your crazy maker, doesn't know that they're doing that. They don't know what effect they're having. They may know that they're pushing buttons, but they don't know the extent of what's happening as a result of that. Or they don't know how to stop it. We're responsible, but we can't transform ourselves. That's a quote I like. Having said that, everything depends on your crazy maker responding to his or her own issues. The problem is not going to end. This crazy making is not going to end until your crazy maker accepts and recognizes their ownership of the issue. As long as they fail to recognize or fail to respond to their ownership issues, nothing else is going to happen or get solved. So the next question to ask is, how much do they own? As you look at this and you look at the problems and you look at what possibly could be causes and influences and how severe all of this is, then you ask, how much do they own? We missed one somewhere, didn't we? No? On my sheet, we did. Okay. Anyway. Never mind. Not just the problem, okay? How much do they own? Not just the problem. We're not talking just about the problem, but how much do they own the underlying causes and influences that they've allowed to affect them? Do they claim ownership of anything? Do they claim ownership of 20% of the problem? Would they say, well, you know, part of this is my problem, but, you know, the other part is, okay, do they own 50% of the problem and the influences and what they've allowed? Do they own, here's the thing, until they get to 100%, there's still a problem. There's still a gap. You and I own 100% of our crazy making. We should. Okay. And until we do, we're going to keep making people crazy. Until we own that these influences, we've allowed other things to come in and affect us, and we've gone and we've acted on that, and there's fruit in it. Until that is 100%, there's a gap, there's an issue. So how much do they own? Sometimes there's a slight ownership problem, and people will call us on it, and we'll go, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that. I will fix that. I will change that. Okay, that's when we've accepted ownership 100%. We say, I'm sorry. I'm going to apologize. I'm going to make it right. And restitution. All right. That's good. That's the way it should be. But sometimes our lack of ownership gets a little more entrenched, and it's a little more serious, and we excuse it, we rationalize it, or we try to minimize the problem or the damage. We say, well, you know, I know that was bad, but, you know, this was going on, or this happened, and I just couldn't help it. Okay, that's a gap in ownership. That's what I'm talking about. We're missing part of the ownership. Or if it's more serious, we start blaming others. Well, if it weren't for you, okay, that's a serious ownership problem. Because now we're saying the ownership for this doesn't belong to me, it belongs to them. No, we have responsibility. We are to own it. Or even more serious is the ownership problem when it's just flat out denied. What are you talking about? What? You're saying I do what? You're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. Okay, that's just flat denial. Ever had anybody like that? Okay. All right. Then what's really difficult is you think about this, there are some people that go kind of back and forth. And when they feel loved or they feel secure, they'll own it and go, oh, and you know, they know they're going to get sympathy and they're going to get comfort and they're going to get all kinds of good things back. And they go, oh, I'm so sorry. Yes, that was totally my fault. And I don't know why I act like that. And I really need to change and I've got to do it. But when they feel threatened, they'll totally deny it. Well, no, it wasn't me. No, that was not me. That was them. They totally did that. And they kind of float back and forth. And so you have a hard time grasping whether they own it or they don't own it. Are you with me? Okay. All right. You got these serious faces on. So I'm wanting to know that you're thinking about this and not somewhere else. Okay. So do they own it? And just as difficult, and I kind of mentioned, is the person who owns it, but they don't care. Yep, totally me. Don't care. That's tough. That is totally tough. All right. So the final question here is to consider with your crazy maker is this. Is it can't or won't? Is it can't or won't? Are they unable or are they just unwilling? Are they broken or are they resistant? Dealing with resistance is way harder than dealing with brokenness or inability. Broken is much easier to address than lazy. I can't is a whole lot easier than I won't. God provides all sorts of help for can'ts. Again, that's where we are when we come to Him. When we're broken and we try and we fail and we own it, we come to Him and we say, I need help. I need other people. I need your Holy Spirit. God has help for us. That's what He says, help in time of need. He has help for can'ts. For won'ts, different story. Won't is rebellion. Won't is a hard thing. When we are broken and we know we need help, God is there. But when we won't, usually we have to be brought to the place of surrender, where we say, I give up. And usually that's what's going to have to happen in the life of your crazy maker. They're going to have to get to a place of surrender where they say, I give up. Something's got to change here. So how do you determine can't versus won't? Well, as you look at it, is there remorse? Is there sorrow? Is there concern for the pain that they cause? Is there concern for other people? Is there empathy at all with what's happening in the relationship for the issues that are there? Is there any kind of that? Is there a general concern or sense of responsibility for others? That would indicate inability. That would indicate, you know, and sometimes we want to paint people in a very bad light that are broken, because they say, well, he said he was going to change and he didn't change. He said he wasn't going to do that again and he did that again. Was it a can't or a won't? Is it because they went off and tried in their own willpower to make it happen without bringing others alongside them for accountability? Was it that they went and tried in their own willpower and weren't seeking God for his help and for the Holy Spirit's help? Was it other issues there? Is there some sort of sense of concern that, yes, that happened again, and I hate that it happened again, and I don't mean to be a jerk like that, but I did it. Is it a real thing? You probably got some brokenness there. You got some inability that they need help with. Or is it, oh, yeah, it happened again. Oh, well. Suck it up, buttercup. You'll be fine. All right. Lack of empathy and care often indicates resistance. On the other hand, be aware of resistance disguised as inability. See, this isn't easy stuff at all, is it? No. Yes, ma'am. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and that's why it's not going to go away until, as long as the ownership gap is there. As long as there's a gap in ownership, you're going to have crazy making going on at some degree, at some level. That's why we say, if the gap is 20%, you know, if they own 80% and it's just a 20% gap, then it's probably a lot less severe with you than if they just simply deny ownership at all and say it's all your problem and it's something else and it's not me. Then that means there's a lot of resistance going on. There's a lot of, you know, denial. And yeah, that is going to make you plumb crazy. Anything else?
No. Yes. Subject matter here is awesome. I think every one of us in this room right here relates to this subject matter.
Do we? Okay. Hopefully most of you do. I wish you didn't. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. My expectation of this person is this, but they're not capable. So just stop expecting.
Well, that's part of it. That is definitely part of it. Next week, next couple weeks, we're going to talk about us and what's there and what we've tried. Especially next week, we're going to talk about what we've tried that's worked or not worked. But we want to go kind of beyond there, because a lot of times we stop right there and say, okay, I need to stop expecting and just, I need to suck it up, buttercup. We want to help our crazy makers. We don't want to leave them there. That's not what God really called us to do. Now, you listen this morning, and I want you to take both things here, because Pastor's talking about friends this morning, okay? And he's talking, he says some things that sometimes we take farther than I really think God intends for us to do, okay? Yes, we have to, he's going to talk about accepting. Absolutely. You have to accept your crazy maker where they are, okay? And God does not have you there to just have your way in their life. God has you, we're in relationships so God can have his way in our life. And this whole crazy making issue is to bring us closer. And we're talking about this so that we can improve relationships, all right? So let me finish this point because I put it up on the screen. Be aware of resistance disguised as inability or in other words, won't, posing as can't. This is the person who repeatedly appears concerned and sorrowful, but it's just an act to keep from actually changing. Okay. And you got to be aware of that. It's manipulation and other things. All right. Above all, allow the Holy Spirit to help you in this. And I don't say that lightly. I mean that very strongly. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you in this. As you think about your crazy makers, you think about your button pusher and what's going on in their life and the fruit and what's behind the fruit and the ownership and how that all plays in together. And we're doing this for a purpose because as we get to the resources that we can use to help and influence, to be a positive influence in your crazy maker's life, all of this plays into it. But as you do that, allow the Holy Spirit to help you. Because as we said at the beginning, when you ask God for wisdom, he's going to give it. We're to expect that. We're to believe and trust for his wisdom. Not our wisdom disguised as his wisdom, but his wisdom. Proverbs 15 says, "Fear of the Lord teaches wisdom. Humility precedes honor. Fear of the Lord will help you and your perspective." Humility, understanding that we are as prone to being crazy makers and possibly are in somebody's life as we have a crazy maker. We're as prone to that as to having one. And understanding that, that's going to go a long way in helping us accomplish and helping us as we do these steps and as we take this path, okay? Let me pray for you before we go. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you don't leave us alone, but you set us in families, Lord, in our church family, in our natural families, and you set us with friends that help us and encourage us, that sharpen us and bring us to the place of better walking with each other, which is a reflection of how well we walk with you. Lord, help us to listen to your Holy Spirit as you speak to us. We thank you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.